Hello everyone, my name is Mario Venditti. I am the planner scheduler for the City of Northport Solid Waste. I got into this position, first I was a recycle driver for 5 years for the City of Northport, and then I became the planner scheduler after taking an interest in educating the residents on how to recycle properly. In my position, my day-to-day, usually I start out by visiting the new residents that schedule garbage and recycle containers to be delivered, and I will go see them and educate them on our solid waste guidelines. More or less, I'm more focused on the recycle part of it. After that, I will drive around the city and I actually inspect recycle containers manually for contamination, and then I will take calls from drivers if there's any issues with repeat garbage in the recycle, and I will go educate those people as well. What I love most about the City of Northport is their residents are from all over the world, and I get to learn about the solid waste guidelines, where they come from, as well as educate them on the City of Northport solid waste guidelines and how to recycle properly.
I decided to become a firefighter. I used to work in hospitality and group sales, and I always had friends that were firefighters, and I decided one day that I wanted to change.
Morning. Today is Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. It's 9:02. We are in the city chambers, and I call the city commission special meeting to order. Commissioners present are Commissioner Duvall, Commissioner Langdon. Mayor Stokes is missing, but now he's having a medical procedure today, and we hope for a speedy recovery. Vice Mayor Emmerich, Commissioner Petro, there is a quorum present for this meeting. Also present are City Manager Fletcher, Interim City Attorney Golan, City Clerk Faust, Administrative Service Specialist Lane, Police Chief Garrison, and I'm sure Chief Titus is on his way. I'm going to call on, since it's his special day, Mr. Golan, can you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Request a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the agenda made by Commissioner Langdon and seconded by Commissioner Duvall. Please vote. And that passes 4-0. City Clerk? Oh, public comment.
Yes. Sheila Denton. City of Northport Commissioners, as a parent whose children have enjoyed the Parks and Recreation Camp program at the Mullen Center for years, I was surprised to learn of your discussion last week to repurpose the Mullen Center for police use. I want to point out that this conversation occurred during a time that most people are at work, such as myself, and was not listed on the public agenda. Such lack of transparency is troubling. My family has used the Mullen Center for camp, fitness classes, attended birthday parties and special events, and it's even our polling location. Based on what I heard in your conversation, it's safe to say I wish I could go back in time and not cast the vote that supported several of you. The city's Parks and Recreation provides excellent programming, some would argue crucial for camp, and its discontinuation or merger would create a significant void. It demonstrates a lack of understanding on your part regarding the need for these programs in our city. It seems contradictory that commissioners can discuss city growth and quality of life while in the next breath pushing proposals that could diminish existing community resources. A city of this size should expand on its community centers, not reduce them. What residents have asked for the repurposing of the Mullen Center. Elected officials are entrusted with representing residents' needs and interests. I'm confident that you are not representing the needs and interests of the residents. I'll ask again what residents have come forward wanting this. I'll take a guess, and my answer is none. Maybe this is a backdoor way of turning this facility into something more commercial, same as you have done with rezoning without public input. Your job as commissioners, the one you all just got a hefty raise for, is to represent the residents, not your own short-sighted and selfish interests. I can only hope the local news picks up this and helps inform residents of your intentions. In person, I have Vadi Oleander.
What is your name?
Officer Isaac.
Good evening. Good morning. I am Vadi Oleander. I come here in peace, and I am not a criminal. Garrison emailed me back some times ago that I am not a criminal. I asked him to give him 30 days to check me out if I am the criminal. He said I am not. I went already through the metal detector. Why have policemen abuse me? Ambridge, I am instructing you to stop treating me like the criminal. Ambridge, I'm instructing you to stop mental abuse. Ambridge, I am instructing you to stop assaulting me. I have a dignity. Dignity belongs to me, not to you. To decide what is the dignity, you go to the garrison. The policeman takes the, they have a core value. They take the oath to protect people's dignity. They don't, it neither you. Emmerich, I am instructing you to order policemen out of my back. You assaulting me and I fear on my life. He does not have the consent to assault me being in my behind. Emmerich, we the people have the rights to instruct under Florida Constitution and our representative. Who do you represent? You have no rights to go move forward unless you listen to my instruction. Now I'm choosing the attorney. Choose the attorney who knows both constitutions, Florida and the federal. And the United States law, for example, 42 U.S.C. 1983, 1985, and 1986. What is the difference between attorney and attorner? Attorney means do not take my rights away and give it to you, which doesn't belong to me. Attorner takes something what is mine and give it to you. And now the difference between the one is the assault and battery. I hope that you next attorney will know that. Assault involves threat or attempt to cause the fear. See that? Battery is actually physical act, touching. Both constitution states that Congress on the federal level and Florida, they prohibit, you cannot make the law to prohibit freedom of the speech. And then the Constitution of Florida is
actually. Thank you, sir.
Oh, wow.
All right, thank you. Moving on to general business, item 25-2548, discussion and possible action to review semifinalists and select finalists for a new city attorney with Senior Vice President Doug Thomas of Strategic Government Resources, SGR. City Manager, I believe you got Ms. McDade to introduce the item, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. So SGR was retained by the City of Northport through Christine McDade, our Human Resource Director, and her team. to conduct an executive search for the City of Northport City Attorney vacancy. Deb Thomas, the Executive Vice President of Recruitment and Leadership Development, is here online today to present candidates to commissioners for your review and consideration and help narrow down the applicants to a number to see you in person in the very near future. I'll stop here and turn it over to Doug, who is joining us, and we will go from there. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Great. Good morning, folks. Good to see you all here. I'm sorry to hear of the mayor's medical circumstances and wish him well as well. The purpose of today's meeting is to go through the process in which we've been involved and engaged to assist you in the recruitment of your successor city attorney following Amber's departure. I know we were a little bit delayed in the process for awaiting the results of a May referendum that involved the possible removal of a residency requirement for this position as well as the city clerk. Once that issue was finalized, we were authorized to pull the trigger and then go ahead and run the recruitment accordingly. So with your permission, what I'd like to do is just kind of go through a brief PowerPoint outlining what we did, where we are in the search, a quick overview of the semifinalists that are here that have been presented to you for your consideration. And we'll talk through a process of selecting your finalist, and then we'll go through a process of what the next steps might look like as well. So with that, let me go ahead and share a screen here if I can. In here. Let me get to the window. And okay, is that that PowerPoint showing up?
Yes, sir.
Great. Okay, super. All right, well, I'll walk my way through it then. So as I said, the purpose of today is to bring you up to speed on what we did to recruit this position and the number of candidates that applied. Then want to engage with you in a discussion about the semifinalists. Now that you've had an opportunity to review their cover letters, their resumes, their questionnaire responses, and video interviews. The goal here, typically, most of our clients select somewhere between 3 to 5 finalists that they would like to invite to participate in an on-site interview process. And we'll talk a little bit about what that process looks like and discuss the components of that on-site work during the next steps. And then certainly this is meant to be very interactive, but certainly at the end, after we've completed everything, if there's any remaining questions, we'll have a chance to address those as well. Because the way in which we and most recruitment firms are involved in selection candidates and helping organizations select candidates, I really view this as kind of like a funnel. So at the front end, we have a lot of candidates that come in. We don't know a whole lot about them unless, you know, what they've told us about their cover letters, their resume, or if we've had previous experience with them potentially as a previous candidate in another search that we may have done. From that point, we then move into the semifinalist level, which is where you're at today. We start to learn more about the styles and background and experiences and how they would apply towards the challenges and opportunities that your community are currently facing, getting an impression about what they're interested in this particular position and why they may have left their previous positions, things of that nature. And then from there, just to let you know that the next step, we move forward from here, is we start to really further unpack each of the candidates so we understand their background from undertaking a comprehensive media searches, 360 degree reference checks on supervisors, subordinates, peers, colleagues, personal references, things of that nature, and media searches so that we have a better understanding to make sure that as a future employer, you've got a better sense of any issues, concerns, controversies, things of that nature for the candidates. So, I mentioned earlier, we started this process a while ago, but then we're asked to kind of stand down for a period of time until the results of your May referendum on residency requirements were resolved. That took place, and then we were asked to pull the trigger here earlier this summer to initiate this search. So the way in which we marketed this position, we had weekly announcements. We have many of you, I think, are subscribers to our 10 and 10 newsletter. It goes out to close to 50,000 folks every Tuesday. We highlighted the position in that 10 and 10 newsletter. It was on our website for a total of 37 days from June 13th through the 20th, or for 37 days. Then we actually had it as a feature kind of top of the pile, if you will, on the rotations for our featured job ads for the week of June 13th through the 20th. We certainly were involved extensively on promoting the position on LinkedIn. And then above and beyond that, we have close to over 800 folks across the country that are expressed interest in city attorney or county attorney type positions. And we provided job outreaches to those individuals during the promotional period. As you can see, well over 800 folks there. The city also provided us authority to place ads in a variety of national, local, and specific position-specific targeted placements, which were done. And then above and beyond that, as I've often done for city attorney and county attorney positions here in Florida, I go back into the Florida bar to get a sense of who might be board certified in state, local, government type areas, and then do a direct email outreach to them to make sure that they're aware of this opportunity in particular. So the day, although we originally had 10 candidates, you may have recalled that we had 10 candidates initially that applied for the position. One of those candidates had recently accepted another position between the time that they were asked to be provide some additional information as a semifinalist. So that individual has moved on, and the other individual decided to pursue a different opportunity as well. So that left us with 8 candidates from the original 10. I will tell you that there was some concern. I know this was an issue of question during the residency issue, but or the referendum issue. I will tell you that many of the candidates that spoke to me, that was a factor of concern for their decision, even though they were interested in the opportunity. The fact that they would have had to relocate and physically reside within the community was, in fact, a concern. We don't see that a lot, but I realize that's a local decision. But just be aware that that certainly had some impact as it related to the number of applications that came forward in this position. The mix of the candidates were, in this case, the 8 that you've got are split between 4 female and 4 male. Most being white, with other one individual choosing not to respond, and one indicating a African American or Black candidate as well. I always think it's helpful as we go through a process like today, as although I've asked you all to review the background material, their cover letters, resumes, questionnaire responses, video interviews, and things of that nature, I always think it's helpful to go back to look at what you said you were looking for in this position. And so clearly you're looking for a Juris Doctor or an attorney from an accredited law school, someone with 8 to 10 years type of work experience. Hopefully a substantial amount would be in the area of local government law field, given the growth issues you're facing, land use, zoning, labor, employment, real estate, litigation, appeals, administrative hearing, eminent domain, things of that nature, and certainly familiarity with Sunshine Law were things that were high on your list of priorities with experience. Of that work, you're looking for hopefully within 3 to 5 years of experience in land use, procurement, or local government law. But you did leave the window open for a possible review of candidates that may not have had directly that experience that might have been substituted for above qualifications that were in the job description. Clearly, in Florida, as you may or may not be aware, Florida is not a reciprocal state, so you have to pass the Florida bar and be in the Florida bar. So the requirement was to have them, all your candidates would have to have been an active Florida bar license and in good standing with the Florida bar at the time of the appointment. And then above and beyond that, there was a desire or a preference for any candidates that had city, county, local government law board certification by the Florida bar as an item of consideration for you. So what I'm going to do is quickly walk you through so that you and anybody in the audience, all I see is the screen right now, so that I'm presenting, so I don't know who may or may not be there in the audience, but I just want to quickly go through the candidates so that you have an idea of who they are and their background and experience. Andrean Treasure is a candidate I'm fairly familiar with. She was just recently, earlier this summer, a finalist for the general counsel position with the Polk County School Board. So I've got a chance to see her through the entirety of a previous process, including an on-site interview process. She was very strong, but ultimately there was another candidate that had a little more background in educational, K-12 educational law that edged her out in the process, but a very, very strong candidate. Well, as you can see, she's got experience in local government and a variety of other kind of not-for-profit organizations, currently serving as an assistant city attorney in the city of West Palm Beach. I've been in that capacity since 2023 and is involved in that work, litigation, foreclosures, breach of contracts, constitutional challenges to ordinances, bid protests, property damages,
declaratory and injunctive relief actions brought against the city and various other litigation, and also services, specifically code enforcement, police, public utilities, human resources, finance, public works. So kind of the gamut as you would envision for a comparable size city, although as an assistant city attorney, not in the lead role as well. She does serve specifically as the attorney for several municipal boards and corporate, including code enforcement, nuisance abatement, planning and zoning, and employee pension boards as well. Prior to that work, she served as a attorney with the Florida Rural Legal Services, specifically dealing with landlord-tenant evictions and rental assistance programs in coordination with county housing programs. Prior to that, she was an attorney with the YWCA in West Palm Beach for a year, specifically involving legal counsel, litigation, representation of the agency's domestic violence, shelter participants, and survivors. And then also served as an assistant county attorney in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And in that role served for reviewing contracts, legal documents, specifically within the Humus and Social Service departments for Broward County. And then was a director of compliance for government relations and licensing for a daycare operation. Had over 250 child care centers throughout Florida. And her other presiding in-house legal counsel with ChildNet in West Palm Beach for about 6 years, working on evidence, dependency, trials, termination, parental rights, family matters, family law type issues as well. Had a stint with the Department of Children and Families, actually two different tenures from 2010 to 2013, and then from 2003 and 2005, working in the DCF area, both in West Palm and in Tallahassee, and also had experience with the that's a repeat slide there, my mistake, excuse me on that. And then prior to that, some other local government work was an assistant city attorney with the city of Riviera Beach, Florida, down in South Florida for 3 years as well, working at a variety of local government type functions as well. Does have a Juris Doctorate, bachelor degree in political science as well. All these candidates certainly are members of the members in good standing with the Florida Bar, so no concerns in that regard. This next candidate that you have, I've not encountered her in the past, Cindy Orndorff, brings a unique mixture of civil engineering, surveying, private sector business work, educational as a professor and teacher as well, and then obviously as an attorney with a mix of services. So she expressed some interest in terms of this position as part of the outreach we had to attorneys here in Florida. Currently serves in a variety of capacities. She's a professor with civil engineering and law at Liberty University. That's a remote position. Has served as a consultant and conflict management mediator in a variety of capacities since 2018 to present. She also owns and operates her own business, general counsel and chief executive officer called Cindy's Kitchen and Bath, and has done that since 2018. And then a variety of experiences, a professor. One of those was with Law and Management, Neverglades University there in Boca Raton. Also had done some consulting work in business law and construction management consultant. And then was also associate professor in environmental and civil engineering with the Florida Gulf Coast University there in Fort Myers. Some other work in the academic world was an assistant professor in civil and environmental engineering at the University of Missouri in Columbia. And assistant to the Dean of College of Engineering in University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, up in Illinois as well. I have to admit, this is a unique background. I'm not, in all my years of both as a city manager and also as a recruiter, I don't think I've ever encountered an engineer that has also moved into the attorney role. And I think she presents a compelling story as to why she moved in that area. Does have both her JD, but also has a doctor's in philosophy, a master's degree in civil engineering, and also a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. The next candidate I have seen in a couple of my searches as he's looking to move into a larger organization, Matt Rowerson, currently the county attorney with Hendry County Board of County Commissioners, has been in that role since 2023. Smaller office. He's the only attorney in the in-house attorney within that particular operation. So I think that's part of the interest in moving into a larger organization with some additional staff support around him in addition to his work. Had served previously as an assistant county attorney in Highlands County Attorney's Office for 3 years as well, and then had a variety of private practice experience earlier in his years working as a managing member in the Heartland Law Practice there in Naples. An associate attorney with a firm in Fort Myers as well for a few years, and also a fair debt collections division as a managing attorney with there in the Sarasota area. So it was in your kind of ballpark though. And then some other work as an associate attorney in a private law firm in Fort Myers, a law clerk, and a variety of legal interns and extern positions as well. Jennifer Mantoni. Jennifer is indicated that she is a resident of Northport, your only resident out of the group that you've got. Currently serving as a managing attorney and owner of her own law firm, largely involved in real estate, construction, general civil litigation, and her office is based in Port Charlotte and has been doing that since 2017. Prior to that, served as a civil litigation attorney with the firm of Kevin Jersinski and Associates in Fort Myers, Florida, for a period of time, and then also involved in construction activity and construction litigation with Becker and Polakoff there in Fort Myers as well, and then a litigation and managing attorney with Martin Equitas, PA in Tampa. Does also possess a Juris Doctorate and Master's degree in philosophy and a bachelor's degree also in philosophy. John Anastasio. John has been in a couple of our searches. I've not met him personally, but I know he's been a semifinalist in a couple other searches for city and county type of searches positions as well. Currently works as owns his own law firm, law offices of John Anastasio. It is specializing specifically in local government representation. He's been doing that since 1983. Although I know when you're looking at his resume, you may not be able to parse this out, but we've seen him in some other searches, so I've been able to kind of unpack his resume a little bit differently than what you might have seen in the resume submitted for this position. But basically, he has previously served in a number of capacities as a municipal attorney when he was up in New Jersey, in private law office, who served five different municipalities and various municipal utilities. He also served as an attorney and a special prosecutor for Mount Arlington Municipal Investigating Committee up in New Jersey as well for a few years. Was an authority attorney for the Dover Housing Authority in New Jersey as well, and then also served with the New Jersey Superior Court as an eminent domain commissioner dealing with valuation of properties and disputing and resolving disputes in that regard as well. Is based here in Florida at this stage, but obviously some of his work was above and beyond that, out of state in local government operations. Does have his Juris Doctorate as well as a bachelor's degree in government. Keith Merritt. Keith is someone I know personally. As you know, from my previous work with the city, I previously served as city manager in Lakeland. Keith was one of our city commissioners during the term when I was there prior to me retiring and ultimately joining SGR about 10 years ago. So Keith, most recently, he just recently, as you saw in his news and his responses, just recently left as an attorney with Fidelity National Title in the Fort Lauderdale area. He served in that role since 2021. He has indicated he's looking to get back closer to this part of the state, to the southwest and the central part of the state of Florida. So that was part of his interest in this particular position. Prior to that, and when I knew Keith over the time, obviously he was a consumer attorney with Merritt Law Office coming out of the bankruptcy arena, dealing with a lot of folks dealing with bankruptcy and property and things of that nature. Did that from 2007 to 2021. As mentioned earlier, he was a one-term commissioner with the city of Lakeland. So I've got to work with Keith closely during that window of time from 2012 to 2016. And then he also had some private litigation work with Carlton Carlton, another private sector law firm here in Lakeland for a year. And then also served as a guardian ad litem attorney for Polk County for about a year as well as part of his work here in the central part of the state. Michael Fuino. I have seen Michael in a couple of my searches as a semifinalist as well, so fairly familiar with his background. Currently servicing serving as a senior assistant attorney with the city of Clearwater, Florida, over in Pinellas County. He's been in that role from 2018. Prior to that, he served as a senior associate with Widener Law, a private law firm in St. Petersburg, Florida. And during that window was involved with, specifically working with a special assistant county attorney and a special city attorney, prosecuted code enforcement, lien enforcements in Hillsborough County and also the city of St. Petersburg. So a specific local government arena there. And then as you've seen, some other work with some of the, a lot of extra illegal legal clerk and legal analyst positions from 2008 to 2010. He is one of your two candidates that is board certified in city, county, and local government law as well. So I wanted to note that on Michael's candidacy. And then your last candidate, Regina Kardish. Regina is currently the owner of her own law firm that's based in Bradenton, Florida. She specifically specializes in Florida local government assignments as city, town attorneys, or assistant city, town, or county attorneys. She's been doing that since 2016. In her resume, you can see that she has served during that window for her own firm as city attorney in Tarpon Springs, town attorney in Indian Shores, town attorney in Bel Air Shores, special magistrate in Palmetto, assistant city attorney in Venice, and assistant county attorney in Sarasota, and then also an assistant town attorney in Longboat Key and the town attorney in Reddington Beach. And then prior to that, her work with Trask, Mintz, and Dignault and Clearwater served also involved with local government assignments as assistant city attorney in Pinellas Park and assistant town attorney in Reddington Shores, and also a magistrate, a special magistrate in Seminole as well. She also brings a background in local government operations, has a degree in JD as well as a degree in business administration, and she is your other candidate that is board certified in city, county, and local government law. So with that as a, I'm going to stop sharing this for a second because we can switch gears here. If I can go back to, there we go. All right. I can't see you. I'm only seeing myself at this point.
There we are.
Be able to facilitate a conversation. My goal here is we have a process that we use here in Florida because of some changes and with respect to how public bodies have to rank candidates in public and triage candidates in public. So we've developed a system that meets the sniff test, if you will, but also kind of identifies where you all individually and collectively may be. So what I'm asking you to do, I'm more than glad to talk through any questions or candidates as you would like. If you want to do that before we rank candidates, or if you want to do rank the candidates first, and then we can kind of look at where the results are and talk through questions and concerns that you may have on where those candidates are. I'm open to a variety of options here. So I'll turn it back over to you, Vice Mayor Emmerich. And if you would have a preference, or if the board has a preference, if they just want to go ahead and rank the candidates first and talk about them later, before we make a final decision, or if you want to talk about the candidates first and then rank them after the discussion.
All right, I'm going to put this to the board. Do you have any questions at this time about any of the candidates before you go into your ranking procedures? Because we've done all that homework at home, and as we go through, we can go ahead and have discussions at that time. So did you have anything, Commissioner Petro? Right now? Okay. I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Petro. He's got a couple questions, Doug.
Sure.
There are a couple of candidates that they own their own law firms. And would they continue to operate in that capacity as well and being a city attorney if they are elected, selected?
Thank you for raising that question. My experience on that, Commissioner, is that most of the time they put their law firm in kind of a holding pattern, or they terminate their process or sell their assets to a different group if they're moving into this role. So I've never seen, if you are a full-time in-house attorney, I've not seen that they would retain their private sector law operations concurrently with that that sense. That's certainly something we could explore, but that's been my experience in other types of positions like this, where a principal of a law firm has moved into a full-time city or county in-house attorney position.
And there are a couple of candidates, thank you for that, a couple of candidates that they have a very good position with the government offices. For example, Michael Fuiano, Adrienne Treasure, they really have good positions. Do they indicate what would be the primary drive for switching from those positions to the city of Northport?
Sure. I think in the case of those existing attorneys that are working for local governments presently, with the exception of one that is a county attorney, the other is an assistant city, like Andrian, for example, is an assistant city attorney. They're desirous to move into the lead role as opposed to being an assistant position. In the case of the candidate that is with Hendry County, my sense is that the desire is to move to a larger, more full-service firm. That particular individual is the only attorney within the county in Hendry County. So I think there's a desire to move into a larger, more complex and more attorneys and diversity of issues that would be facing an organization like Northport.
Thank you.
So they both look to be for promotional opportunities in general, though. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, and that's all the questions he had at this time. As we go through these candidates, do you want to do one at a time and then do the rankings for one and then move on to the next one after we give you our numbers? And second part of this is, were you given Mayor Stokes's rankings?
Yes. Vice Mayor, if you see now, I think I've shared the screen. I have this PowerPoint.
Okay, I see it now.
Yeah. So what I've done is I went ahead. Heather indicated that Mayor Stokes was not going to be present, so he was able to provide those rankings. So I've just gone ahead and put those into play. What we normally do is just go candidate by candidate and capture everybody's respective comments on them, our respective scores on them. And then from there, we'll evaluate where things stand and if there's any issues or trends that we need to identify. Just to reiterate, what we're looking for if you give a candidate a ranking of one, it means you're definitely interested in learning more about that candidate as a finalist. A number two is that you're okay, maybe not the strongest in their particular opinion, but you're still interested enough that you'd be interested in having them come in and learn more about them. And a three is a score of that you're not interested in proceeding with that particular candidate. The goal here, we basically try to do both an average ranking as well as a raw score. The goal here is like golf. You want a lower score is better than a higher score, obviously reflecting lower numbers versus the higher numbers. So if that makes sense, although we go back and forth on the toggle screen, I can't see who gives what, but I'll be glad to take, if you want to just take each candidate up, we can start off. These are simply by alphabetic order in the same order I presented them based on their first name. If you want, I'll take each candidate's, each of your rankings of each candidate. We'll just take each candidate one at a time, and then we'll see how things stand at the end of the process.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right. So
we'll go in order as you've got it listed. So I'll go with Ms. Treasure, and I gave her a three.
All right. Okay. Commissioner Petro?
A three.
Mr. Langdon?
A three.
Mr. Duvall?
Two.
Okay. All right. Next candidate was Cindy Orndorff.
I gave her a three.
Mr. Petro?
Three.
Mr. Langdon?
I gave her a one.
Okay. And Commissioner Duvall?
Three.
Okay. All right. Vice Mayor Emmerich on Matt Rowerson?
I gave him a one.
One. Mr. Petro?
One.
One. Mr. Langdon?
Two.
Two. And Commissioner Duvall?
One.
One. Okay. All right. Next candidate is Jennifer Mantoni.
I gave her a two.
Two. Okay. Commissioner Petro?
Three.
Mr. Langdon?
Two.
Mr. Duvall?
Three.
Next candidate is John Anastasio.
I gave him a one.
One. Mr. Petro?
I'll go with one, although it's between one and two, but I'll go with one for now.
Okay, that's fine. We'll have a chance to talk through these afterwards. That's fine. Commissioner Langdon?
One.
Mr. Duvall?
Two.
Okay. All right. Mr. Emmerich on Keith Merritt?
A one.
Ms. Petro?
One.
Langdon?
One.
And Mr. Duvall?
One.
Okay. Next candidate is Michael Fuino.
I gave him a two.
Two.
One.
One. Oops, I'm sorry. One.
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 One. Okay. And then last candidate, Regina Kardash.
Three.
Petra?
Two.
Langdon?
Three.
And Duvall?
One.
One. Okay. All right. So let me just go here first to get a sense of where we are by. Okay. All right. So if you looked at, well, clearly, Keith has all ones. Largely, let's see, these two largely ones and twos. Ones and twos, yeah, those are there. Okay. And then after that, we're into some smaller groups here in terms of ones and one, twos, and threes. So, is there anything, is everybody comfortable with at least the four that you've selected? Is there any questions or concerns that you have on any of these candidates that you would like to talk through before we talk about maybe if you wanted to add a fifth candidate into the mix? I only say that in the sense that we always have the potential of losing a candidate because it looks like we're not going to be able to interview until the week of the 25th, so we're about a month out. So I always want to potentially give you a broader selection in case people end up selecting other opportunities between now and the time you do your on-site interviews. But let's talk first about these four. Any questions or concerns? Or are you pretty comfortable with those as a group?
Any questions?
Not so much a question, but again, we'll go through these and share our personal impressions, right?
Yeah, I just want to kind of get a handle if there's anything there. As I said, they're all ones and twos. That made a sense that you were generally pretty comfortable there. So if you want, I'm glad to park those. And then maybe you've got one candidate that's kind of on the bubble. And I may be able to add, I suspect I might know why there may be some concerns with Ms. Kardash, but I'll be glad to address those. But do you want to just kind of hold off on the floor for the time being and just talk about your kind of your fifth candidate, which would be Regina Kardash? Because after that, then it starts to break off into folks that I don't think there's enough interest. There's some concerns there in terms of qualifications. But would you like to talk about Regina?
We can. I mean, as you stated, she's on the bubble. We've got, you know, a pretty good break between the top candidates. Well, it's basically split in half. So she is the one at the lowest helm of the upper numbers. So, yeah, if you said you had some explanation or some concerns that you wanted to add to it, we're all ears.
Sure. Well, let's do this first. I always like to hear what you've got to say. I can add some insight or amplify things as necessary. Let's talk about Regina then. I know the mayor had her ranked as a one, as did Commissioner Duvall. I would normally say, okay, those that highly advocated for her, and maybe Commissioner Petro had her as a two as well. Maybe you want to talk first about what you liked about her background or insights, and then we can ask both you, Vice Mayor, and Commissioner Langdon to raise any questions or concerns, and I'll be glad to kind of fill in the blanks if that makes some sense.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so
As I said, Commissioner Vol, since the mayor is absent today, well, you ranked her as a one. What did you see in her background that interested you? Or obviously you rated her pretty highly. So I give a chance to kind of explain your rationale.
I liked it. I liked everything about her. She is the only candidate that was board certified for local government. I like her variety. You know, everything from studying languages. I liked her attitude towards her workers, the staff. I believe she would be great at getting along with city staff. There are some concerns, but we all have some personal issues in our lives that we have to work through. I believe she would come to this position and she would stay in this position.
Let's see who else said, Commissioner Petro, you had her as a two. Thoughts and perspectives?
Thank you. I think I'm comfortable with the four finalists, semi-finalists. So I don't think it's a lot of validity, a lot of weight to talk about the fifth candidate, so to speak. I guess we have top four semifinalists, so I guess I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
She's a good candidate overall.
So either Vice Mayor Emmerich or Commissioner Langdon, obviously both had ranked there as a three. I suspect I might know why, but I'd like to hear your comments. And as I say, I'm more glad to fill in any blanks as I can.
Yeah, so, I personally didn't want to go too deep in the weeds, but there were some concerns about possible litigations going on. So that sort of deflamed me on that process.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked Regina's municipal experience, and she did seem to have a good grounding in land use, which for me is very important. I was concerned a little bit about her lack of direct management experience. And I also had some concern given some of the litigation issues she's going through, whether such a major change at this particular point in time would be wise.
Okay. Not surprisingly, when I read the background material as well, I had a chance to reach out and I spoke with Regina about the issues that you're probably both referencing. What I can say, she and her partner have separated. There's a child involved. There's a lot of cross accusations going back and forth. That has been a very fairly stressful issue. So that's kind of the nature of what she's described to me in the process. I find her to be a very strong candidate in terms of all your candidates, probably having the most direct experience as it relates to local government operations. Obviously, as a contract attorney working for a variety of communities. But as I said, I didn't want to get into too much detail given the litigation involved there, but she does strike me as someone who is prepared and has a wealth of local government experience. I would advocate for her, if you're inclined to consider a fifth candidate, give her a chance to come in and talk to each of you and explain any questions or issues or concerns. I got much more comfortable after my conversation with her on that point that I think she's prepared to do it. But I'm your consultant. At the end of the day, it's your call at the point. But I do think she does bring a wealth of experience, in some cases even stronger than some of the other candidates that are under consideration. So that'd be my take. If you were inclined to select the fifth candidate, I would include her. She's relatively local, so she could, be there as well. It's not like she's flying across the country or something of that nature.
to be incorporated. But as I said, at the end of the day, it's your call whether you want to just go with a four or you'd be considering a fifth candidate.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, Doug, is like I said, I didn't really want to go into the weeds. And I understand throughout the processes and you know, life's challenges and stuff. But you got to remember, Northport has had many, many black eyes in its past. And it's just, it's very tough to go ahead and maybe welcome possibly another one in the future. I mean, I have no issues to add her as a fifth candidate and come down and discuss and talk. But I think, you know, it might be in our best interest to go ahead and include her so we can have those conversations, and then possibly we'd have a lot more public public commentary coming in on our candidates as well. I mean, I know in the past we used to have the little get-togethers and people would come in and grill each candidate. I know Chief Garrison had one hell of a time when he was interviewed here, and it gave the public a chance to meet the people as well. So it is better, in my opinion, to have more rather than less. So I got no issues in allowing her to be, you know, like the fifth candidate. So that's my take on it. I don't know if Commissioner Langdon wanted to add anything to that or not.
Yeah, I would be open to seeing her as a fifth candidate. I think we share the same concerns, Vice Mayor. But, you know, if a candidate is strong and if they sort of have their stuff together, I wouldn't look at personal issues as being a definite showstopper. I mean, I think all of us in our lives have gone through less than stellar periods. So
speak for yourself. No, I'm just
kidding. So I'd be very open to seeing her as a fifth candidate. I agree having more. I mean, it's a month before we interview. People who are strong candidates have options, and so it's very likely we could lose one or two. So I would be supportive of seeing her as a fifth candidate.
Commissioner Duvall?
Yeah, I'm looking back at my notes on Regina's, as I went through Regina's thing, and I think I, as I spoke for her, and I did categorize her as a one, I left some things out. Her municipal service struck me. Her idea of mentoring, her idea of leadership, leading by example, her continuing education. 10 years municipal and pro bono Sixth Circuit work. Pro bono, I'm impressed by someone that gives back. Varied hobbies. She has experience as a team, 3 to 5 years in land use procurement, 8 to 10 years practicing, growth management, code enforcement, public procurement. She mentioned humor and teamwork. I was just very impressed.
Got it?
Yep.
All right. Doug, I think the consensus on the board here is that we're going to accept a fifth candidate. So that narrows it down by three.
Okay. Let me go back then, Vice Mayor, to talk about kind of the next steps here in the process. So let me go back to, is that PowerPoint showing up again now where it says next steps?
Yep. No, that's your chart.
Let me stop sharing. I gotta...
Excuse me. Before we do that, I did want to speak to one of the candidates. I think I was the only one, and everyone else was a three. And I totally get that. But would now be the appropriate time for me to share my thoughts on her?
Sure, by all means. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if you were going to comment on that or not. By all means, Commissioner.
Okay, because it sounds like we're kind of narrowing in on finalists, and I didn't want to do that before having an opportunity. to speak about Cindy Udinoff. Clearly, let me back up by saying what I really value in a candidate is someone with a diverse background who has had an opportunity to view the law from a number of different perspectives. Strong municipal experience certainly is important, and this candidate does not have that I saw in her background. But her diverse background in terms of being a civil engineer and being such a strong educator, and when I think about the role of city attorney, are we really looking more for a practitioner? I mean, we have a team of seven other attorneys. Are we really looking for a practitioner, or are we really looking for someone with a deep and broad understanding of the law and a unique perspective? Her background in the construction industry and civil engineering, I was just fascinated by that. And I thought because of that, she would be worth a look. She was just very interesting to me. And I know some people have a point of view that people who can do and people who can't teach. So I don't hold to that. I think for people to be effective educators, and certainly in her background, she strikes me as a very effective educator. That would go a long way, particularly her understanding of land use and construction and that whole process, which is really what this city is all about. I just wanted to take a peek at her because she was so different. Not without some gaps, clearly not without some gaps, but we have very strong practitioners on our current team. Our interim city attorney has extensive municipal experience. I just thought she might be an interesting complement to the strength of our current team. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I do recognize she would be a dark horse in the race, but I was fascinated by her background. That's it.
Commissioner, I share your intrigue on her. As I said, it's in all the years I've done recruitment, I've not encountered a background like hers. And also having her own private business, operating that and understanding legislation and regulatory issues and things of that nature as well.
Right.
Certainly understand that her work has not necessarily been in local government law per se, but has touched around it directly, compared to some of your other candidates. So I was intrigued by her candidacy in a similar fashion. Absolutely.
And I'm just wondering if anyone else would have an appetite to take a look at her.
Well, let me just comment on that, if you don't mind. We had 8 semifinalists. We're trying to get it down to, between 3 and 5. Right now we're looking at a possible 5. I think each one of us on this dais could have arguments pertaining to other candidates that are out there. I mean, I have the same argument for Miss Mantoni. I mean, Port Charlotte, resident of Northport, she's a go-getter. She has her own law firm. I mean, you can go all through each candidate, and they have all their special qualities of each other. But as a board, with the way the numbers came up, we got it down to 4, and then there was quite a bit of a gap between 4 and then the possible 5, and then we just discussed going ahead to add the 5th. So we need to figure out, we're going to stick with the 5, we're going to switch around the 5, and we've just went through that whole process to narrow it down to these 5. So I think the board has spoken with their numbers. but it's up to the board to decide. So, I mean, we got to start making cuts somewhere, or we just, hey, Doug, can we keep all eight? You know, I mean, and then we can interview them all. But I think that is just going a little bit over and beyond. So we've got to start somewhere. We've got to cut somewhere, and let's get it down to a reasonable number. That's where I'm at on that.
If I may, I sure. had another concern in general, not at all specific to Ms. Ordinoff, but several of our candidates had significant private practice experience. I like that from a different point of view. It would be kind of nice to have someone who can take a look at what's going on at the city from both of those perspectives. But a number of them sounded as though they were solo practitioners. And the only thing I would really want us to be aware of, if that's the case, someone who's had very recent experience for a while as a solo practitioner, coming into a large organization can be a really tough experience. And I've had that experience myself. I worked for very large companies, went out on my own, went back inside to a more mid-sized company. And I'll tell you, fitting back into that kind of structure was not easy. So I just wanted to throw that out as well, because I would have concerns with a candidate who most of their legal experience was private. And if that private was at a solo, as a solo practitioner, or maybe with one partner, I'd have some concern. Not that I would want to disqualify them, but when I met with them, I would probe a lot on that specific dimension, because I know from personal experience how difficult that can be.
Okay, back to you, Mr. Thomas.
Okay, all right. So based on what I'm hearing you say, just to confirm, I've got five finalists, Keith Merritt, Matt Rowerson, John Anastasio, Michael Fuino, Regina Kordash, as the five that we're moving forward. If and we'll certainly notify them and get them into the next steps. And I will, I'll move you from there into, let me stop sharing this. And I'm sorry. Stop. Next steps here in a second. Current slide. Share screen. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the next steps then. So, for those of you who've been through our processes before, our finalists are not done with their assignments yet, so to speak. We certainly will be working on doing criminal history, credit, academic, legal, driver's license, all the database checks, things of that nature, and all the candidates. We also go through a process of securing references from previous and current supervisors, subordinates, peers, and personal references. And then we complete a detailed media search so that you get an idea of kind of their online presence and whatever media they may have been exposed to along the in their various roles and their different capacities. An exercise we normally have our finalists do is the first year game plan, which is each candidate has an ability to respond as if they're appointed as your next city attorney, what did they do in their first 30, 60, 90, 180 days in the balance of the first year? That may sound like a rudimentary experience, but I've seen thousands of these and everybody does them a little bit differently, but it gives you some normative insights about how they get their head and their heart around the new position. I would recommend many of our clients either use DISC or IOPT assessments. I would recommend that you pursue IOPT on these candidates because all of you as elected officials have been through the IOPT assessment, as have your staff, your senior staff, and your members of your city attorney's team. I've been involved in almost all the recruitments of your city attorneys as you've grown the organization and been involved in several assistant city attorney searches, and they've all got IOPTs on them as well. So I think I would recommend that would be something you look so you can kind of see how they mesh with both you as an elected body, your senior leadership, as well as the team members within the the city attorney's office. And then I'll open it up to you whether there's an interest or not. Many of the times when we have positions such as this where there's involving presentations to you as an elected body or to the community on an issue, it may be a controversial issue in which your city attorney is on the lead kind of on that point. Many times we have our candidates do a 10-minute kind of TED talk, if you will, on some topic to be discussed. It can be about their first-year game plan. It can be about challenges and opportunities in the position. It can be about whatever the topic you would like. But it gives you an idea on how they present information in a visual fashion that we often use for interviews for positions like this with you as the board. So that may be something that you might want to consider. And then let me just talk before we come back to those points about what we normally have for positions to report to boards. Your candidates would come in on day one. We try to coordinate a variety of functions on day one. We try to provide, have appropriate staff members provide individual community tours so they can kind of see the projects and issues and challenges and what's going on there in Northport and the different neighborhoods you've got as well. For positions to report to you as elected officials, our boards typically have a series of round robin one-on-ones where, you know, each one of you get a chance to meet privately with each of the candidates. And then, you know, we ring the bell and everybody shifts gears and you do the process again. Those are normally 30 minutes in session. So you can ask some questions, you know, outside of a public session that you might want to explore with any of the candidates. We normally would encourage that because this involves your existing staff within the city attorney's office, we would normally encourage a session that each of the candidates would have with each of with a group of your city attorney staff members. Then many times for a position like this, although the position reports to you as a charter officer, you may want to also have maybe your city manager and other senior department heads that regularly interface with the city attorney's office as a possible interview session as well. And then I open it up to you. I see this for some positions and not others. I'm not sure how visible and public this position is in your mind relative to the public as the city attorney, but we've done, as the vice mayor has mentioned, a meet and greet, and you invite your boards and commissions and community stakeholders and just open it up to allow people to mingle with the candidates and the candidates to mingle with the community, because these are the folks that they'll likely be dealing with if they're ultimately appointed. So that's kind of day one of a process. And then day two, we normally schedule public interviews. Normally, those are scheduled for 90 minutes with you as a mayor and commission. That may seem a bit long, but I'll tell you my experiences for positions like this, hour is too short and 2 hours is too long. We just find 90 minutes work. What that gives you is about 60 minutes for a traditional Q&A of an interview. If you ultimately want them to do a PowerPoint or a presentation in some fashion that I spoke of earlier, that's just another 10 minutes. So that's 70 minutes, and that gives you 20 minutes kind of as leeway for Q&A and back and forth. And we find many of our board appointed positions like this, 90 minutes seems to be about the appropriate window of time. And at the completion of that full day of interviews, then we would help you deliberate and go through a decision on who your final candidate is. And then we, part of our agreement is to work with you to help negotiate a final proposed employment agreement, work through the terms and conditions, and then that would then come back to you for a formal consideration of appointment of your successor attorney. So that's kind of what our process would look like. As I understand it, we are looking at and working with your city clerk. It looks like the week of the August 25th, all five of you are going to be in town and available. So at some point we'd look to, I'd want to identify the 2 days so we can get those locked down on your schedules as well as the candidate schedules. But let me just stop there first and ask if there's any questions and any feedback you have on what we're proposing as far as the process.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to make sure of, too, is as I wanted to poll the board here to make sure, Commissioner Duvall, are you available on the week of the 25th for a couple days?
Well, I haven't had a chance to look real quick at that, but as far as I know, I'm here.
Okay, Commissioner Langdon.
I am out of the country until the 27th, which is Wednesday.
Okay, so the 24th and 25th work. No, I'm just kidding.
Commissioner Petro? I'm in town.
Okay, he's in town, I'm in town. So we would just, after the 27th, is that what you said?
I'm in town on the 27th. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week are fine for me. Okay.
And we can coordinate with that with the clerk. And I'm not sure about Mayor Stokes's availability. So, yeah. So for the most part, after the 27th is good for us.
After the 26th. So the 27th is good.
Okay. And so
and I
just want to make sure that
Heather can chime in on this one, but I believe she's checked at least on what calendar access she has on Mayor Stokes. Is that true, Heather?
Yes, and I can double check right now. Just give me 1 second.
Mid-month.
I did look at my schedule and I'm here.
Good.
Mayor Stokes is free.
Okay, so we're looking at that Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. If you're good, why don't I do this? I will verify with the candidates their availability. And if we have any conflicts, I'll try to manage that as best as possible. But we'll try to do it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and I'll just coordinate with Heather and she can get it locked down on your calendars accordingly from there. That's point number one. So now we got the 2 days. Are you comfortable with the
Heather's got something.
We will not have access to chambers on the 28th in the morning due to our code enforcement meeting, which tends to have too many people to move to 244 as well. So if we're going to do something on the 28th, it would probably need to be something that does not require chambers.
Well, if we did the 28th, that could be day one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the commission chambers would be the 29th. That would be day two. Okay.
Yeah, I think that can work, Vice Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, I think that can work because that would be the one-on-one sessions and the other staff interview panels that we've talked about as well. That also gives Commissioner Langland a day to get back and get her feet back on the ground without jumping right back into.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Having just come back from Colorado for 10 days, I appreciate it. It takes a little while to get yourself back in the swing of things. So, okay. All right. So we'll shoot. Ideally, we'll see if we can make that on the 28th and 29th, and I'll work with Heather if there's any issues or challenges to address that. But if you at least lock down those dates on your calendars for the time being. Let me go back
to the one second. One second. Oh. Commissioner Duvall has a question. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. We discussed a couple of the candidates. And we didn't go through all of them. And I just happen to have just one question because once we leave this meeting, I can't sit and talk to you guys about this. So I just want to ask this one question on Michael Fiuno, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the name correctly. I was very impressed with him, except for one thing that bothers me. He is putting in currently for an application for this a similar position in Key West, Florida. And I would hate for us to go through a whole process and then find out that our candidate that we ended up selecting has decided to, in a short period of time, to move somewhere else. So that's just a concern of mine. And I wonder if how you guys looked at that.
Is he part of our final five?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. If I can add, Commissioner, and this is why I often say I recommend you look at potentially five candidates versus four, because candidates, my impression with this particular candidate is he's looking to be into a lead position, and so that's his drive. I do not know. I certainly will get a handle from him when I talk to him about being selected as a finalist here, about where he may be on that status. I do not know if they're going to be interviewing before you will be interviewing. So, but I don't think that he would be taking one position, then immediately jumping the other. I think his desire is to be a city attorney versus an assistant city attorney.
And so he's applying for positions, you know, that are in that magnitude. So I don't think it's an either or, but they may be ahead of us. They may be behind us, but I would think they'd be very reluctant to take this position and then turn around and look for another position right off the bat. I think he's just looking for his career progression as a city attorney.
Yeah, the main thing that concerns me about it is that Key West is a beach community, and he's currently working in Clearwater, which is another beach community. Northport is not really known as a beach community. So that was just a concern.
Yeah. I know warm Mineral Springs isn't quite the beach, but I know it is a water as well. I understand that. That's my take on it, Commissioner. A valid concern. My take from seeing candidates across the country and what I do in the recruitment world is many times when you're in one search, you're on multiple searches, you know, seeking the same type of position. So I think that's it. Although Key West is a dramatically different type of community than the Clearwater, certainly Northport, but I think it's the nature of the position of city attorney that he was looking for. That would be my take. Hopefully that addressed your concern, but I will certainly get a handle on where that process is and where he is in that process, whether he's a finalist or a semifinalist or when they may be involved with interviewing. So.
Go ahead, Commissioner Petro.
Doug, I have a question. He's one of the strongest candidates, in my opinion, if not the most. Would it be possible to find out, I mean, if he's really applying there and getting a job, or how does it work? Can you reach out to him? I echo Commissioner Duvall's concerns, because I would feel the same way. So how do we go about that?
So what I'll do is at the end of this process today, I will be reaching out to all five candidates, letting them know of their status in the search and asking to confirm their commitment to participate in the interviews, which now look to be probably on the 28th and 29th of August. I normally give them 24 hours to circle back and confirm with me. So I'll know pretty quickly within a day or so, you know, if they're in or they're out. And so at that point, if they're involved with other searches, I also always ask them what the status of their candidacy is. Are they interviewing? Are they just applying? Are they a semifinalist? They're a finalist, any of that stuff. So I'll know that information fairly quickly. But as I mentioned earlier, the reason I suggest you have more than less candidates in this search is that sometimes a strong candidate in one search is a strong candidate in another search. You may lose them only because of timing. And so I hate to have you backed into a corner where all of a sudden you only got one or two candidates for consideration.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Back at you, Doug.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So let me go back to the questions that I raised before. I assume you're comfortable with the first year game plan. That's at 30, 60, 90, 180. That's a pattern we've used for all of our searches for you as well as other clients that we found of great value. Would you like these candidates to do the IOP assessments now that you all know your own IOP profiles and all of your city attorney's office has been involved in the IOP process as well?
Yeah, in my opinion, that's not going to hurt. Let me take the poll, Commissioner Duvall. IOP assessments. Would you like them to participate in the IOP assessments? Commissioner Langdon?
Yes.
Sure.
All right, there's four yeses up here, so yes, sir.
Okay, all right, so what we'll do is we'll chart them out relative to you as a group, as elected officials on the board, as well as your attorney's office. You get a snapshot of what, you know, how they kind of shake out in that effort. What is your thought on the assessment or the kind of the TED Talk PowerPoint presentation? I don't know how much either Amber or Michael were involved in that, but we do find it's an important process to allow a candidate to quickly assess information and present that in a relatively short period of time. Any of you have done PowerPoints, it's a lot harder to do a short presentation than it is a long presentation. You've got to be judicious in what you're going to include. Your thoughts on incorporating that into the interview process?
My opinion would be, you know, they're going to give us a 30, 60, 80, 90, 100 day plan on what they wanted to do. What I would also like to look at if they wanted to would be, and this is for the board to decide, is Do we have any areas that may be weak within our department that may need to be strengthened up, and what would they do about that, making that happen? I don't know if there's any appetite for that at all between the other commissioners.
I like the idea. I'm not sure they would have a perspective on where the weakness in the department is.
I don't mean personnel-wise. Okay. I mean within our legal structure on would we need to vamp up anything? You know, would we need maybe more people? Would we need more outside counsel? Would we need, you know, to better serve the citizens, what does that department need? I'm not talking about individual personnel. They don't know each other.
Right.
So
right.
I'm looking at the big picture. And that's only if there's an appetite for it. That's the only thing I could think of as an assessment.
For me, I think it might be interesting if it has to be short and sweet that they present their first year game plan. I would find that really interesting.
Well, they're already doing that. That's number two, first year game plan.
Are they presenting it though? Clarification, Doug? Are they presenting their first year game plan?
No, the first year game plan as identified in this sheet is basically a written document. It's no more than five pages. And so it's how they get their head and their heart and their operational aspects or feet in the ground, so to speak, if they're appointed. To your point, Commissioner Langland, many of my communities will have the candidates do a presentation on their first year game plan, which is kind of a summary.
Right.
Different skill sets that are involved, what we're looking for in the, yeah.
Right. Which I got no issues with. And the reason I wanted like a type of a presentation, and it's for the community itself to where they can come up and discuss what their game plan is so the citizens can hear it as well. You know, yeah, you can have it in backup material, but not a lot of people go in and pull it out, especially if it's going to be a five-page document. So I'd be game on that to do their first-year game plan on a presentation.
Yeah, it as I say, there's two different skill sets involved. The development of the first-year game plan is kind of their how they attack the position. The assessment presentation exercise is how they present information. It can be many of our communities, to your point, do have our candidates present their presentation on their first year game plan. So there is documentation to it, but it's really a sense of how do you provide that in 10 minutes at a high level overview versus going through five pages. You as elected officials and your staff will certainly have the documentation of their first year game plan, but it's really how do they present that information in a concise fashion, you know, in a public type session. That's what we're trying to assess in that exercise. So if you're comfortable with that, that's easy to have them, you know, they're going to have to develop a first year game plan anyways, then they just have to roll it into a presentation that can be 10 minutes or less.
All right. Commissioner Duvall.
Yes. I have a listing of what we came up with, you know, as far as 1 to 8 of the candidates. But I would like... you came up with a grid that showed, you know, the average score, the numbers. Is it possible for me to get a copy, a printout of that, of how
sure.
we ended up ranking?
Absolutely. I'll when we finish up this meeting, I'll put that in a PDF and shoot it to Heather so that you would have that for your files as well, and she can distribute it to each of you. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So all right. Let me go back to the assessment. Is it once again, I've only had the screen in front of me with my PowerPoint, so I don't know. I can't see you at this stage of the game. Are you comfortable with them doing the presentation on their first year game plan? Is that what I think I'm hearing? I've heard at least two comments about that.
Commissioner Duvall.
I'm good.
He's good. Commissioner Langdon.
Yes, I would like that.
I'm good. And so is Commissioner Petro. You got 4. Yep, we would like to see that.
That's fine. I've got to get, there's a lot of work that they got to do. I just want to be clear on what we're asking them to do. Then if you want to go back to the slide that I had on before about the 2-day process, and I think we're now talking the 28th and 29th,
Are you comfortable with that process that I've outlined? Is there anything you want to include or exclude? Just so I can start to prepare an agenda and get that figured out with all the appropriate parties so we can work with your staff for rooms and things like that.
Yeah, your sheet's not showing, sir.
All right. Let me.
There we go.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So day one, we normally have the candidates go out. You have some staff members to take you out and community tour the candidates on community tours. We try to do that individually so they can get a lot of dialogue there. As I said, we would have the round robin of the one-on-ones with each of you. Those are with five members and five, assuming we have five candidates and five of you, those all typically be about 30 minutes. So the morning is normally kind of tied up with those one-on-one sessions and round robins. As I say, we definitely would encourage an opportunity for the candidates to meet with the city attorney staff. They'll be the ones working with them most closely. And then if you're interested, we would also coordinate a senior city administration session as well, so they could interact with some of the department heads in the city manager's office who they would be similarly working for in a day-to-day. And then if you were interested in scheduling a public meet and greet, that would typically be done in the evening. So it's a full day. Day one is a pretty busy day for everybody, but I would need you in the morning as elected officials for the one-on-ones. And then typically the public meet and greet, we encourage you, if you wanted to hold that, that would be typically held in the chamber or one of your community center or something of that nature. We'd encourage you to participate there. So I would need you at one point for the one-on-ones, and then again for the public meet and greet if you so desire to hold that event.
Okay, one question. City Clerk, the chambers would be open in the evening. Code enforcement would be done at that point, correct? Okay. So
I don't know that the chambers would be, having done that, you know, been in your chambers on a number of occasions, my suggestion, you might not want to do it in the chamber only because it's hard to mingle with the limited floor space, if you will, there in the chamber. But I know you've got other venues, whether it's a community center or another, you know, opportunity where, especially if you get five candidates, what normally happens in these, for the benefit of those candidates or those commissioners that haven't seen this in the past, normally we would have, prepare a bio on each of the candidates with a picture and a brief bio and some background of how we got to this point. The mayor normally welcomes people once you've got a sizable crowd there. I normally have each of the candidates just briefly introduce themselves, think 3 minute, you know, 2-3 minute introduction, if you will. And then we kind of disperse and allow each of the candidates to have a spot in a room. And then your crowd will mingle and move from candidate to candidate to candidate and kind of listen and ask questions. That's how these normally work. And so there's a lot of foot traffic and mingling around. I'm not sure the chamber is as good of a venue for that with five candidates as maybe some of your other venues that might be better suited to accommodate a crowd and that type of movement.
And that's fine. We just have to check out the availability on those, you know, areas on what would work. And that would be up to staff to figure out what the availability is and what would work best. But I'm all for having a meet and greet for the public. Commissioner Duvall?
Yes. One more thing on the day one city attorney staff candidate session. I'd kind of like to get the results of that. I'd like to know what our city attorney staff thinks of the candidates.
So if sure.
I some feedback.
Yeah. Very good question. I appreciate that. So what I do, recognizing that the five of you are the ones that ultimately appoint, you're the appointing authority in this issue. So when I have these other sessions with the city attorney staff or with the city administration, what I typically sit in those sessions and then I do a debrief afterwards, but I'm not asking for either one of those panels to rank candidates because I don't want to put them at a cross purposes with you as the appointing body. What I do is capture things that resonated with them about each candidate and any areas of potential concern that they may have with each of the candidates. And I kind of capture those notes for each of those panels. And then that's why I do it on day one, so I can tabulate all that information and get it back to you either late on day one after the meet and greet's over and I get back to the hotel room. Get it all tabulated or certainly have it for distribution with you on day two. Because what I'd like to do is there'll be an opportunity for us to get organized on day two and we'll help you prepare questions and things of that nature. We've got to get those all finalized. But part of that will be the feedback we have received from the interaction with your staff, whether it's the attorney staff or the city administration panel. So highs and lows and concerns and any potential follow-up questions are what I'm seeking for, so that you have that information before you meet with each of the candidates on day two, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. What else you need, Doug?
That's all I have. If you're good with that, I'm hearing public meet and greet. I will be, I will certainly follow up with each of the candidates, and then I will circle back with, you want to take that screen off so I can see it. Important. Thank you. I will let you know if we're all set with all five and get things confirmed. And what I'll do is start to work on a schedule, a wheel, if you will, of the various activities with your staff, and start to get that finalized. And we'll get the candidates working on their assignments for the next step.
All right. City manager, you got any input? You need anything else?
No, sir. I think we're good. Thank you.
City attorney, you good? City clerk, do you need anything? Okay, so we're good to go forward. No motions are needed. We've pretty much gone through everything. Okay, final input. Commissioner Duvall, you got anything?
No, sir.
Commissioner Langdon?
I'm happy.
Commissioner Petro? Ms. Lane, why not?
Vice Mayor, if I could just ask, I know Michael's off camera right now. From my standpoint, I've got clarity and direction. I just want to defer to your interim city attorney if you need any formal motion, or if, Michael, you're comfortable with kind of the consensus and the process we followed to move forward with the five candidates as identified.
Thanks for that question. Yes, I'm comfortable. We're good to go.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
By the way, Doug, I just asked him that, so thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't. In the transition, I wanted to make sure that as a former city manager, I always want to defer to my city attorney to make sure we're not missing something there. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, this was great. This was a great exercise. We look forward to the future and meeting these candidates, and we will go from there. And I look very hopeful for the future. Got any public comment down there, City Clerk?
There is none.
There is none. All right. It's 10:31. I adjourn this meeting.
Thanks, folks. Bye-bye.